I want to invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Philippians, if you would, please. And just as I spent much time in prayer about the end of the year last week, as far as the message is concerned, I've spent much time in prayer about the beginning of this new year and what I could bring to you. And I really feel like the Lord put this on my heart just a few days ago. And I'm praying that the Lord speak to us in a mighty way. You know what? Decisions matter, don't they? How about a hearty amen right there? Decisions matter. They matter. Every decision matters because they build the framework of our life. They really do. They become the past that shapes our future. And it could be that you are here today and you're excited about a brand new year and about a brand new beginning with this new year. And you're going to forget those things that are behind and you're going to reach toward those things that are out in the future that are ahead of us. And the right decision tomorrow begins with the right decision today. So decisions are important. And we're going to talk about that just for a little bit today. So if you have your Daystar card, I really want to encourage you to kind of take pen in hand. And this is just a way to kind of keep you interactive as far as the message is concerned. Kind of keep you engaged as far as the message is concerned. And maybe jot down a few things that the Lord might be speaking to you throughout the message. And so just kind of have that in front of you. Hopefully you can go back and look at it a little bit later and say, yeah, I remember that. The Lord really spoke to my heart about this particular area here. So Philippians chapter 3 is where we are this morning. And to set it up, the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, probably the greatest Christian outside that ever lived outside of the Lord, that walked the face of the earth. He is the author of this book. It's one of the prison epistles. And the reason we say that is because this. He's in a Roman jail cell right now. He's writing this letter from a Roman jail cell, and he's waiting his execution. And the great Apostle Paul pens these words beginning in verse 13. He's very optimistic about his future. Now, I want you to see that as we read these verses here in Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. Notice it says, brethren. So he's writing to believers here. He says, I do not count myself to have apprehended. In other words, I still have some things. I've not arrived. I still have some things that I want to take care of. Now, I've kind of highlighted this next phrase here because that's what we're going to be talking about today. But one thing I do. I have a lot that I want to accomplish, but there's one thing. I'm going to narrow my focus, and there's one thing that I really want to do this year. He said, I'm going to forget those things which are behind. And that was really important to the Apostle Paul because you remember before he became a believer, he was actually a murderer of Christians. He was a persecutor of the early church. And so now Paul says, I'm going to forget those things that are behind. I'm going to forget those things that are out behind me in 2017. I'm just going to forget them. Nothing I can do about them. They're already done. They're made. I'm going to forget about 2017. And then he says this. He says, I'm going to reach forward to those things which are ahead. And he said, this is how I'm going to do it. He said, I'm just going to keep pressing at it. I'm just going to keep nudging at it. I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul was a goal setter here. And I like this fact that he's in prison waiting his execution. And he's setting some goals for himself, kind of narrowing it down to one thing. One thing. Now, if you don't have a goal to shoot for, you're going to hit it every time. You know that? I mean, if you don't have a goal to shoot for, you're going to be 100%. You're going to hit it every single time. And for Paul, there was a goal there. He's wanting to reach it. He's going to go after it. So he says, I press toward that. I'm fighting toward that. I'm moving toward that. Chances are that you have some goals. Maybe this is a time where you've kind of reflected this week on some of the things in the past that took place last year and can't undo anything that's been done there. So it's time to move on now. Maybe you're setting some new goals and probably some goals that need to be set in your life. I have some goals that I've set and need to be set in my life and they need to happen. But along the way, there are some all-important goals goals that we should be striving for, along with whatever New Year's resolutions we might have set. And I want to mention one thing to you today. I really want you to get this. I don't want it just to get here in your head. I want it to get deep down in your heart. I want it to get deep down in your spirit and your soul. And that is this, that whatever happened yesterday, whatever happened in 2017, whatever should have happened that didn't happen, whatever mistakes you made, whatever goals you set last year that you didn't even come close to accomplishing this year, I want you to know that we serve a God of a second chance. He's a God of a second chance. And this is one of the favorite times of year for me, as far as I'm a big guy, a sports guy. And right now you've got the NFL playoffs, two last night, two today. And then you got national championships, as far as college is concerned, coming up Monday night. And got basketball season. How many of you stayed up late and watched Tennessee beat Kentucky last night? Yeah, there's several of you wiping the sleep out of your eyes this morning. And big time of the year right now as far as sports is going. Golf just kicked off. Man, I'm telling you, they're playing out in Honolulu. No, they're playing somewhere in Hawaii, not Honolulu. But it's a great time of year as far as sports is concerned. And I was thinking about this week. Craig, you may or may not know this, but Craig grew up playing basketball, and oftentimes we'd go to the gym and he would just shoot one shot after the other. And I was the rebounder. I mean, I was the one that if he missed it, I'd chase the ball down, throw it back out to him, and he'd just shoot. He made it, I'd get the rebound, I'd come out of the net, and I'd throw it back out to him, and he'd just shoot. And I was thinking about this week. It's like God is constantly under the backboard, and every time we shoot, he gets the rebound, he throws it back out to us and says, shoot again. We shoot again and we miss, and he grabs the rebound and he throws it back out to us and he says, shoot again. We serve a God of a second chance. Aren't you thankful for that today? And that's really important to know, because too many times we get to this point in our lives where if you live long enough and you've done, you know, certain things along the way, and you get in kind of a rut and kind of a way that you do things, and you haven't seen things come to pass in the past. So now then you're kind of, you know, oh, what's the use kind of attitude. It's never worked out before. It's not going to happen now. I'm here to tell you this morning that it's going to happen in Jesus' name. I want you to keep the faith. 2018 is going to be the best year of your life. It has the potential to be the best year of your life. You're starting it off in a great way today here at church, and I'm so proud of you and so thankful that you're here today. Here's what I want you to do. Isaiah said this in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18. He says, I don't want you to remember the former things. Just go ahead and let 2017 go. That's what I'm saying to you today. Let it go. Do not remember the former things. But the prophet said this, nor consider the things of old. And then in verse 19, it says, behold, God says, I'll do a new thing. And I'm thankful for that. He does a new thing in our hearts and our lives. But notice when he does it. Now. It shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God has created this moment in time. You are not here by accident. God has created right now, and you're going to have some opportunities that God is going to create for you, even today in this service, so that you might know Him and know Him a little bit better. So I want you to grab hold of that. I want you to think about this moment, this day. God has something special for you here today. And I'm going to frame it this way, because the decisions that we make are important, and some we regret, and some we're so glad that we've made. Decisions are important. They are all important. We are the sum total of the decisions that we have made. And listen, I've made some good decisions in the past. Best decision I ever made was the day that I came to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm going to tell you, every good thing that has come my way is because of Him. I'm thankful for my salvation, and I praise the Lord for that so very much. Another good decision I made, and this is a given, not going to spend a lot of time on it, but another good decision I made was when I met and married that lady sitting right back there 40 years ago, and our family. I'm so thankful what God has done for us and what God has done for our family. So very thankful for that. So that was a great decision that I made years ago. I decided, another good decision I made years ago, I decided I was going to surround myself with good, godly people. That's just kind of the people that I wanted to be around. That's the kind of people that I was interested in getting to know. And one particular fellow, some of you will know him, is a guy by the name of C.S. Harvey. He's in heaven today. But in 1983, when we moved to Roane County and began to serve in another church in 1983, I met C.S. Harvey for the very first time. Long story, I'm not going to go there today. But I can't tell you how that man's impacted my life, how he impacted my life. He had a business in Oliver Springs. He had a furniture store in Oliver Springs that he would open at 9 o'clock. But he would get at the store about 6:30 and put on a pot of coffee. And anybody that wanted to stop by was welcome to do so. So, man, there were many mornings I was there early drinking a cup of coffee with him. And I was just gleaning from the wisdom that he had and that he shared with me. And he mentored me and he helped me in ways, I'm going to tell you, that you can't even begin to imagine. So I'm thankful for the decision that I made to surround myself with good, godly people. And that's, you know, that's just an example. There's so many others. And I say this as a point of affection for you today. I say this today, and I want you to know how much I love you. One of the greatest decisions that I've ever made, we've ever made, is moving to the North City. Some 10 years ago, this month, and a decade has gone by. Hard to believe, but it has. But I'm going to tell you something. It was a hard decision, but it was a decision that we made. It was a decision that cost us something. I can't even begin to tell you what it's cost Roberta and I to live here in the North City. I can't even begin to explain to you what has happened, but I'm going to tell you something. I wouldn't change a thing. I'd go back. I'd do it all over again. One of the greatest decisions that we've ever made, and some of you have been a part of this, most of you have been a part of this, when we planted this church years ago, you guys will never know how much you mean to me. It's a good decision that I made, that we've made together. Now, I've shared a few good decisions that I made with you. Let me share one bad decision. You know, they say sometimes confession is good for the soul, but it's bad for the reputation. I'm just going to tell you that right now. It's good for the soul, but bad for the reputation. I'm going to give you an example of a bad decision that I made some years ago. Made some bad financial decisions when Robert and I first got married. Listen, her dad gave her a, wasn't a new car, but it was new to her, but it was a good car for graduation in high school. And she had that car for a few years while we were dating and then got married, and we had that car. Man, it was, we didn't know a penny on that car. It ran like a top. It was a good looking car. It was old lime green, though. It was a puke color green. If you liked green, it was okay. But it was a good car. Well, I got this wild hair and wanted a better car. So I went and traded that good car that we didn't owe a penny on, got a new car that we owed a lot on, soon found ourselves upside down. And I just got into this rut, and she'll tell you, I'm not bragging about this. I am confessing this morning. Again, good for the soul, bad for the reputation. I just like trading vehicles. I traded a lot. I'm telling you. Right? To say it, they can't see you shaking your head. Yes. Finally, I did learn my lesson. I mean, we drive a car that's 11 years old, got 200,000 miles on it, all right? So I've learned my lessons. I learned a lesson there. Decisions, decisions, decisions. I've made some bad decisions. Some of them I'm so ashamed of. I want to draw your attention this morning to the most important decision of your life today. I want to phrase it this way because it's using the wording of the Apostle Paul that's found for us in Philippians chapter 3, and here it is. What one thing, if changed, would make the biggest difference in your life? Not several things, not many things. Let's narrow it down today. What one thing, if changed, would make the biggest difference in my life? What one thing, if it got better? What one thing, if it was added? What one thing, if it was deleted? What if it was taken away? What one thing, if changed, would make the biggest difference in my life? And I want to draw your attention to that because here's my goal today. And I'm just telling you, I want to push you after that one thing. I want you to live your life like your life matters. I want 2018 to be the best year of your life. And I feel like my role as a pastor, our role as a church, is to just come alongside of you, get in your corner and say, come on, man, you can do it. I mean, pray for you, support you. Because the truth of the matter is this, we all have one thing. Wouldn't you like to have known what Paul's one thing was? Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, he said, this one thing I do. Wouldn't you like to have known what his one thing was? I mean, here he is in that prison and he says, I've got one thing I want to do. I've got one thing that I want to focus on this year. What's that one thing for you? What is your one thing this year? I thought of some categories that I could just mention to you today. Maybe this might be some that would be included in your list. Maybe you could think of some others. But I thought of a few categories. And I just want to mention to you, you got a couple places to write them down here on your Daystar card. And first one is this. I was thinking about this. Maybe my habits. Do you have a habit that if that habit changed, if you could just get rid of that habit, your life would be better? It's not that you are consumed by that habit. It's just that that habit just kind of, you spend a lot of time with it. You spend a lot of money with it. What would your life look like if you dealt with habits? I'm just going to mention one. I'll throw it out there. The internet. Just think about this just for a few moments. I mean, we may not be looking at bad things, but we're on it a lot, right? I mean, we were at a restaurant the other day, and there was family sitting close by, and every single one of them was on a device. Every single one of them. I'm not sure they even talked to each other. They may have been texting each other. I don't know. They may have been texting the waitress. I need a drink refill right here, you know. I don't know what they were doing, but it was like they didn't. You've seen it, haven't you? You've seen it. Kind of addicted to the social media. And then before you know it, you just spend hours there. You have to be careful what you look at as well, right? I mean, because it can lead you into a dark, dark place. Not only, you know, just the internet, that's just an example. There's so many habits and vices. You don't need me to tell you what they are. But what if one thing changed in my habits? Here's another one. Maybe not just my habits, but how about my relationships? Maybe there's some people that you just get around and sometimes they just bring out the best in you or the worst in you. You know what I mean? You got some people that you just kind of rubs you the wrong way, huh? You get around them, they just kind of pull you down a little bit. So be careful about relationships. Maybe it's a fractured relationship that you need to work on. Maybe it's a fractured relationship that you need to work on being restored. This year, I'm going to focus on my relationships. So my habits, my relationships. Here's the third thing. What about my debts? I talked a little bit about this a few minutes ago. Some bad, bad financial decisions I've made. What if my debts, I just focused on, instead of adding more debt, now I'm going to start whittling down the debt that I do have. And take it one at a time and just kind of whittle it down and see what's going to happen with that as we chip away at that. Maybe it's not habits, relationships, debts. Maybe it's my health. Maybe it's my health. Some of you, you know, you're dealing with physical issues and you got to make up your mind now that you're going to take better care of yourself through this coming year, and you're going to be careful about what you do, and you're going to maybe make that appointment, go see that doctor, and then do what the doctor asks you to do and tells you to do. Let's don't take our health for granted. Listen to me this morning. If we don't take care of this temple, as the Bible calls it, if we don't take care of this body, who's going to? Maybe it's not my habits, my relationships, my debts, my health. Maybe it's my dreams. my dreams. You've been dreaming of a dream for years, and you've never taken a step toward accomplishing that dream, that thing that God has placed in your heart and your life. I don't know what it is, but you do. But I'm here to tell you this morning, you can do it. I'm telling you, it can happen. Can you just imagine 2018 being the best year of your life? And if you will focus like the Apostle Paul on this one thing I do. And I'll tell you this. Here's what my promise is to you today. My promise is this, that we'll get around you. We'll come around you and we'll support you and we'll pray for you. And with God on your side, 2018 has the potential to be the best year of your life. And I want that for you today. I'm telling you I do. Let's go back to the verses that Paul mentioned in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Here it is again, Philippians 3, 13. He says, but one thing I do, Paul said, one thing I do. I'm going to forget those things are behind. I'm going to press toward. I'm going to reach forward to those things that are ahead because I'm pressing toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So here's what I want to do. I just want to pray for you. I want to pray for you right now. So let's pray together. Let's ask the Lord to help us have this mindset of one thing. Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus this morning. I pray for the people that make up Daystar Church. I pray for our precious folks that are here today. Whatever has been in the way, whatever is stopping them, whatever discouragement they might have faced in 2017, all the things that point to them and say to them, you can't do it, I'm praying they realize that they can do it with your help and with your power. So I pray for the people of Daystar Church that they would pursue their dreams, their goals, the vision that you have given for their lives, that it comes to pass, that it comes to fruition this year with your help and them focusing on this one thing. And I pray that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I'm praying for you. I'm telling you, I'm praying for you. I want 2018 to be the best year of your life. I want 2018 to be the best year of our church's life as well. Now that's kind of a little of an introduction, all right? I'm going to give you what I feel like is a word from the Lord. I feel like this is what the Lord gave me to give to you. This will go quick today, all right? So here's what I want to invite you to do. You know this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it this morning. If you really want to be successful in any part of your life, you cannot leave God out. How about a hearty amen right there? Would you help me this morning? If you want to be successful in any part of your life, you cannot leave God out. Because I'm going to tell you why. You are a spiritual being. And there's more that's available to you that is so powerful, that is so real, that you're able to live not just the natural life, but you're able to live a supernatural life. And I want you to understand that this morning. And then you see God work in your life and you think, oh my goodness, that could not have happened had not God been working in my life. So we've been able to give Him the honor and the glory as a result of it. But if you ask people in the Bible, what is the one thing that you could do? I want you to see some of the responses that you would get from characters in the Bible. I want you to see what David said. He said this in the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 27 and verse 4. David said this, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple. David said, there's just one thing that I'm seeking, and that's just to get closer to God. I want to just dwell in His house forever. I want to do that all the days of my life. I just want to get around God. I want to be close to God. David would tell you this. He says, I've got it figured out. Here's the secret. The closer I get to God, listen, the closer I get to Him, I'm empowered to do the things that I feel like He wants me to do. I'm empowered to do the things that are on the list. I'm empowered to do the things that God has given me to do. Now, I'm going to tell you what my one thing is this year. And I'm praying. Listen, I not only need this, but I want this. I so desire this. And that's just to get closer to the Lord in 2018 than I've ever been before. And I want to challenge you guys to do the same. Just see how close we can get to the Lord. So here's the one thing. That's just get closer to Him. closer and closer to the Lord. And if you're serious about this being the best year of your life, and I think you are, then make this the best year of your life spiritually. David said this one thing I do. I just want to get close to the Lord. Now that's Old Testament. Let's go to the New Testament. And I want you to see this wonderful story here just for a few moments. And I'll point out three things that I feel like God showed me and I've learned as a result of this story. And it's a story found in Luke chapter 10. And beginning in verse 38, it says, "Now it happened as they," that's Jesus and his disciples, "as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him to her house." Now, I've highlighted that right there just for a moment because I want to give a shout out to Martha. Sometimes Martha gets a bad rap, all right? Sometimes we look at Martha and say, she didn't do things like she should have done here. But I want to give a shout out to Martha right here, right now. She's one of the characters in this story that we're going to look at. We're going to look at her sister Mary here in just a moment, but I want you to see something, that Martha, it's her house. She's welcomed Jesus. She's initiated the conversation. She's initiated the invitation for Jesus to come to her house. So a shout out to Martha here, all right, at this particular point. And then we see her sister in verse 39. She had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. She was thinking, how close can I get to him? I mean, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to sit at his feet and I'm going to listen real closely to the things that he's saying. So you got Mary now, the sister of Martha, Martha's house. Mary's at Martha's house, but Mary is at the feet of Jesus. And then verse 40 starts like this, "But Martha was distracted." I don't know about you, but I can identify with that. I mean, you ever get focused here, and all of a sudden your attention is over here? Or you're focused here, and all of a sudden you're back over here? You ever been praying where, I mean, you're just praying, and then all of a sudden your mind starts to wander and you're thinking about something else? I see some of you laughing, snickering a little bit, because you know what I'm telling you is the truth, right? Martha was distracted. Notice the rest of the verse. She's distracted with much serving. She approached Jesus and she said, "Lord, do you not care?" What a question to ask the God of this universe. "Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to come in here and help me. Tell her to get up off of that floor and come help me. I need some help in this kitchen." And Jesus said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things." In other words, Martha, you're focused on the wrong thing. And then he said the same phrase that King David said a little bit earlier. The next verse, it says, "But one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken from her." Same thing the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3. Same thing David said in Psalm 27. Now Jesus is saying, one thing is needed. So the one thing is really just this. It's just getting closer to the Lord. Mary's chosen that good part, which is not going to be taken away from her. So here's what I want to do. I want to help you get closer to the Lord today. And for 2018, there's three things that I learned from this story. And I told you they'll go kind of quick this morning. And here's how I kind of want to unpack this today. Paul said this. He said, "I press toward the mark." He said, in other words, "I've decided that whatever it takes, I'm going to do it." So I thought about some things we need to decide. And here's the first one, jot it down. I have decided to make the most of this new year. Now, I almost left the blank open and was thinking about putting the word opportunity in it, because Martha had an opportunity. I want you to listen to me, folks. Look at my God-given eyeballs and please hear what I have to say. Jesus is in her house. And Martha's in the kitchen. I mean, it's almost like for us, Jesus is in our house, but we're in another part of it. I've decided to make the most of my opportunity. Sometimes we look at a new year's, new opportunities, fresh beginnings. So I thought about this. We live in the greatest country on the face of this earth. We live in the great state of Tennessee. We've got a brand new day. It's absolutely beautiful and gorgeous out there. You're part of a caring church that loves you and cares about you and supports you. You have some opportunities right here in front of you. Don't find yourself in the kitchen when the opportunity is there to sit at Jesus' feet. The Apostle Paul also wrote Ephesians, and he said this in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15. He says, "See then that you walk circumspectly," and that just means carefully. "See then that you walk with carefulness." And he said this, "Not as fools, but as wise." And here it is, redeeming the time, making the most of your opportunity. Literally, that means window of opportunity that opens and then it closes. Making the most of your opportunity because the days are evil. Listen to me, you've got an opportunity right in front of you right here today. You've got a new day, you've got a new year, you've got a great country, a wonderful state, awesome city, a good caring church. And the truth of the matter is this, you are just one step away from realizing the best year of your life if you understand the opportunity that you have in front of you for this year. I've decided I'm going to make the most of this new year. Not in your notes, but you can jot it down somewhere. I have decided that 2018 will be the best year of my life because it's going to be the best year of my life spiritually. I'm telling you, 2018 can be the best year of your life if it's the best year of your life spiritually. You have a body, you have a soul, you have a spirit. But I'm going to tell you something. When your spirit man is dominating other parts of your body and your flesh not dominating your life, you're going to find out that this could be the very best year of your life. And it will be the very best of your life, year of your life, if you make it the best year of your life spiritually. I challenge you on that. Put me to the test. Prove me now, the Lord says. And that's what I'm saying to you today. Prove me wrong on that. I'm telling you, just let's make 2018 the best year of our lives. By making it the best year of our lives spiritually. Here's the second thing I learned from this story, and that's this. I've decided to get rid of every distraction. I've decided to get rid of the distractions. All of us have distractions. Martha was distracted. In other words, she's missing her opportunity now. Here again, Jesus is in her house and she's in the kitchen, but Mary's sitting at Jesus' feet. Have you ever thought about how many good things we get involved with that keep us from the best things of life? I mean this, sometimes we feel like the devil doesn't defeat us with the bad things of life. We feel like he destroys us by distracting us with the good things of life. There's some things in our life and they're fine, but sometimes we just take them a little too far. Sometimes we go a little overboard. I love sports, but I've never seen the reaction of a sports-crazed world and community like East Tennessee. I'm telling you, football, I've never seen more people let their emotional state be determined by 19 and 20-year-olds. I mean, it just has happened here. Have fun with it, but don't let it dominate your life. Does that make sense? Have fun with it. I watch it when I can. I have opportunity to do so. But listen, don't let it control you. We talked about social media. There's so many things that could just fit right here. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, you know what that cloud of witnesses is? That's every loved one that's gone on to heaven that you've had. And they're in heaven and they're cheering you on and they're watching you and they're wanting the best for you. It says, then let us lay aside the weight. Now watch this. The weight is those things that are not sin, because he's going to tell us to lay the sin aside here in just a moment. But the weight are those good things that are maybe consuming us a little more than they should. So we're to lay aside the weight, and then the sin which so easily ensnares us. And here it is. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Get rid of the things that ensnare you. Get rid of the distractions. And let me explain something to you this morning. We need to find that thing in our lives, and we need to put our finger on it, that thing that distracts us to keep us from having a right relationship with the Lord. And then we need to deal with it. And then by dealing with it, we're saying this to the Lord: I don't love that as much as I love you. Get rid of the distractions, whatever it is. You know what it is for your life. I know what it is for my life. And let's come and sit at the Lord's feet. I did write this down for you. You can jot it down in your notes. I have decided that I'm not going to let anything that will ultimately lead to nothing keep me from experiencing what means everything. Sometime a little bit later, you can get that out of your Bible, out of your notes, and look at that and let that sink in. It's going to be a great year. I'm telling you, 2018 is going to be a great year. Here's the last thing. Michael, come on. I have decided to prioritize the presence of Jesus Christ in my life. Now, let me tell you what that means. That means that I'm not just going to come to church on Sunday, but I'm going to live every day of my life with a God-first attitude and mentality. That means on Monday, that means on Tuesday, that means Wednesday, that means each and every day. Jesus be not just a part of my life, but be the center of my life. We have such a great opportunity to live for and to honor the Lord. I'm so thankful for that. Jesus is in the house. I'm so thankful for that. Let's make 2018 the best year. But we're going to have to do something. We're going to have to decide. We're going back to those decisions that we kind of let off with. Because I can't make the decision for you. You can't make the decision for me. It's something that you have to do for yourself. Paul said, I press toward. I'm just going to keep going. One foot in front of the other. When I want to quit, when I want to give up, when I want to throw in the towel, when I get discouraged, when I get disappointed, I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. I press toward the goal. And that's what we need to do. What one thing? Let's narrow it all down to one thing. What's one thing that is really needed in your life? The one thing that Paul says, as a matter of fact, he does tell us what that one thing is. We read verses 13 and 14, and verses prior to those verses, Paul tells us what that one thing is for him. In verse 7, but the things, and I want you to see this morning, the things that were gained to me, those things that I thought were valuable, I've counted as loss. I mean, the sports, the shopping, social media, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, relationship, school, work, list could go on and on. Because we do have some valuable things in our lives. We have to make sure the priority's right. Those other things that mean nothing, amount to a hill of beans, those things that I thought were gain to me, not so much. In verse 8 he says, yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Now close your Bibles, and I'm finished this morning. When I realized that Jesus was in my house, I realized that lunch wasn't the priority. Sitting at the feet of Jesus is the priority. So let's just do what we've been encouraged to do from Paul and David, Martha and Mary, from Jesus. Let's just get close to Him. Get close to Him.